Honored to welcome everyone to session one of Hard Conversations Unpacked with Jennifer Abrams. I don't have much to say other than that you are in the right place to learn from one of our profession's leading experts, period, and the expert on how to have hard conversations. So with that, Jennifer, I'll hand it right over to you.
Thank you, Justin. So welcome, everybody. We're 61 strong in here, and we are being recorded. So if you have some need to leave or you weren't able to be here, we welcome you sort of in your spirit into the room as well. We're going to spend three book study sessions on this book, okay, which is the Hard Conversations Unpacked book, not to be mistaken with the Having Hard Conversations book, which is a different thing that we also did a workshop on months ago. If you weren't there and you're going, what? I'm in the Hard Conversations Unpacked workshop. Yeah, am I in the wrong place? No, you're in the absolute right place. If you were there, you are still in the absolute right place. You will still learn different things in this text. And if you weren't in the first one, you're not missing that. We're going to focus this as to be its own thing. Okay. Its own series. You know that you've been on webinar for now almost 2 years. So you know that we're going to get into breakout rooms. It's great if you have yourself on mute now, you have yourself on video when you're in breakout rooms. The book is the guide. There's no like packet or anything. So have it at the ready. I thought about this. I saw this particular thing. I don't know if anybody here is from Indiana, but Indiana University Health Center had this on Twitter, and it was a picture of what is at the front of their hospital as people come in. And I thought it was so fabulous that I put it at the front of most of my Zoom sessions. They say, and I quote them, please take responsibility for the energy that you bring into this space. Your words matter. Your behaviors matter, and they speak to their patients and their teams matter, but we matter, right? So just take a breath. We're going to be here for 90 minutes. It will be absolutely engaging if you bring yourself as a tenacious advocate for your learning, and check your energy and show up. So that's what we're here for. I also know that we're here because we're in schools, and it has been my life's work. I've spent my entire career in K-12 education and supporting those who are in it. And I always think about how impactful we are. And this work of having hard conversations is really about being that grown-up who is able to have these humane growth-producing conversations and modeling it for others. So let's be that person that knows how to be a learner and that shows up, because somebody is learning how to be a person by watching you. So think about who you want to dedicate this learning to, because kids are actually paying attention. The students are watching us. A little bit about me to start this, just a few slides. When I get a chance to work internationally, I work in New Zealand sometimes, and it's an amazing place. And they ask me not about that, about the presenter piece that's in the front, you know, that's about the author page that's after the acknowledgments in your book, you know, you got that thing. But they say, that's nice. We want to know your mihi. We want to know where your river is, where your mountain is, and who your family is. That's how we introduce ourselves to each other. It's a pretty interesting way to do an introduction. So I will let you know that my feet are on the land of the Ohlone here in Palo Alto, California, and that my river is the Pacific Ocean. I've been on this coast now for over 30 years, south of San Francisco near Stanford University, and that my mountain is actually not the Sierra Nevadas. When I ground myself, I go down to Tecate, Mexico, And so Mount Kuchma, south of San Diego, is my mountain. But the thing that starts this whole workshop are my nephews. Okay. I always dedicate my learning to them. They are in Minnesota, oh, don't you know? And they are Joe on the left and Evan on the right. And the one on the left said to me at one point, "Aunt Jen," said, "What, Boo?" Because I call him Boo. "You don't work." I said, "What do you mean I don't work?" He said, "You talk to people about talking. That's not work." And I thought to myself, that's a really interesting way to view what work is and what it isn't. And I understand this. His mom and dad, okay, have different work than we do. His mom in particular runs a DHL franchise. Okay. So she goes to the airport really early in the morning and she gets her folks to take packages off an airplane and put them into trucks and she delivers packages. And that work, valuable. I respect it. I'm an Amazon Prime junkie. I think of that work as transactional. They go, they do something, they deliver something. There was an exchange of funds. That's how that works. What we do in education is transformational work. It isn't transactional work. And so this idea of you don't work, all you do is talk to people about talking, I think that's valuable because what we do in education is we talk. And we listen. And hopefully through those engaging conversations, we transform people. We support people to develop. And so on the page, before you get to chapter one, I think, in here, I keep going back to my own book here. Before you get to chapter one, on the other side of that page is this quote. And it really guides where we're going today. And I promise you'll be talking in just a few seconds, okay? Harriet Lerner said this, and she said, "Our conversations invent us. And through our speech and our silence, we become smaller or larger selves. And through our speech and our silence, we diminish or enhance the other person, and we narrow or expand the possibilities between us. How we use our voice determines the quality of our relationships, who we are in the world, and what that world can be and might become. Lot is at stake here." So with great respect to Joe, my nephew, I do talk to people about talking. And I spend my career doing that. Since I left the classroom, I was a high school English teacher, then I was a new teacher coach, then I was a professional developer for my district. And when I left 10 years ago, I recognized that we have a credential in how to teach our students, our grade level or our subject area. And we don't have credentials in how to talk effectively to each other. And adult-to-adult communication has been my focus, okay? How do we talk to each other? That's the essence. And we're going to talk for three sessions about having a hard conversation with another adult, but that's just one way, right, of doing this. So we're going to focus on the left side book. That's what we're going to end up working on for this particular session. Okay. It's not just any conversation. It's when things are challenging. All right. So that's going to be the focus today. Now, there are people here. I've been looking and listening to all of your introductions. If you did a video that Justin graciously asked you to do, and I listened, you've got a wide swath of roles and you have many different roles. Okay. Many different roles and many different kinds of hard conversations. You are from an athletic director to a head of school, to an assistant superintendent, to an instructional coach. You're in Texas, you're in South Dakota, you're in Barbados. It's all good. Okay. It doesn't matter what you're doing or where you are. Okay. There are hard conversations to be had. one of those types of hard conversations might be an interpersonal hard conversation. So you can have hard conversations with people about our talking together, our professionalism with each other, how you feel respected or not in a group or by your colleague or your superior. So that might be one type of hard conversation that you're having, or you might be having a difficult feedback conversation about benchmarks or job description or teaching or a project and deadlines or about completion of something. It's more about the work, the content. And you don't have to be a supervisor to be able to have those kinds of hard conversations. I know there are many people who are not in that supervisorial role. That's all good too. You might think to yourself, oh, I want to have a hard conversation with a department or a team or my department in a county office or whatever, or a whole faculty. That's a hard conversation type as well, along with having a hard conversation with a parent or a student or an administrator, somebody above you in the hierarchy, or an assistant, okay? It doesn't matter the type of hard conversation at this stage or who you are to whoever they are. The question is, do you want to have this conversation and is it necessary? Okay. Now, the late U.S. Congressman John Lewis from Georgia was on video with some students in California, and they asked him if he had any advice for them as they moved into their adulthood. And he looked at them, and I was witness to this particular video, and he said, yeah, this is what I wish for your life, that you get into trouble, necessary trouble. And that's what I think of when I think of hard conversations. You'll notice that I never put anything like hard conversations made easy, okay, on the front of any of my books. I don't think they're easy, okay? I don't think they're easy. The question is, are they necessary? So I want you to think to yourself, am I willing to deal with the discomfort because I think they're necessary? This is a conversation that's necessary, okay? So think about that. Now, you might be saying, and I hope you're not, because you did sign up. This was a willful group, a willing group of people. You might still be willful, but you're a willing group of people. I sometimes am with people who didn't sign up. They were sent, or they're just a part of the group, right? And they might say to me at points, you know, I don't want to be in this thing because you know who should be doing this? The superintendent or the principal, or I would need to learn how to do this if blank learned how to do this, right? They always want to deflect, right? The responsibility. I'm not saying that there are certain conversations that shouldn't be had by you. I get that. And when you have to have the hard conversation, do you have the skills? I think it's a collective responsibility for every single person who is over the age of 18 working in a school district to be able to do this, okay? When it's your turn to have a conversation, do you have the skills, right? We're all there to build a culture of excellence. We're all there to create a sense of urgency in the work. So I don't let anybody off the hook. I don't let instructional assistants or the custodian or the front office secretary. Everybody should learn how to do this, okay? Because we need adults in the school to have hard conversations that are thought out. So that they have thought it out so that when the hard conversation, for example, comes to me, I am able to hear it. I am able to receive help to become more aware. Like maybe that's why you're having the hard conversation with me, because I'm unaware of my impact. And I think that hard conversations shouldn't just be pointing like you're wrong, you're wrong. It should be here's where something is not working and here's how it can move forward more successfully. So every single person in a school, it would be great if they knew how to have a humane growth producing conversation. So think about that. If somebody had a conversation with you that was really challenging, difficult for you to hear, wouldn't it be wonderful if they had thought it through so they used the right words so that they were humane and that they said something that was more growth producing? It wasn't just blame, blame, blame. It was let's move forward, right? That to me is really important. And so that's where we're going to go in these three sessions. Can we learn how to have humane growth producing conversations? And Daniel in the chat said, focusing on the problem is much different than identifying the problem and then a possible solution. It's a huge shift. Okay. And so you don't just tell people, you know, this is wrong. I might say to you at that point, well, tell me what would be better. Let's move forward. Because most people want to move forward and be successful, right? So that to me is where we're headed. Now, I'm going to ask Justin, I know that I'm also a part of this and I could also do this, but I'm going to ask Justin to bounce us into rooms. You're going to have four people, hopefully, maybe, in your room. And definitely just say, hi, where are you from? But also, what drew you here? And what questions do you have? What questions are percolating just from that starting point? Just from what I said about humane growth producing conversations, what moments of ahas are you having? And we'll come back in 6 minutes and we'll have a chance to do some stuff in the chat, but we're going to do a lot of get some information, mix it up, have a conversation about it and bounce back. That's going to happen quite a bit for the 90 minute sessions we're doing. So I hope everybody understands this is the purpose. The process is talk with your folks for 6 minutes, say hi to people from all over, and we'll come on back. Make sense, Justin?
Sounds good. So everybody take one more look at the questions because I think they will disappear from your screen when you go into your breakout room. Please do unmute and turn on your camera if you possibly can when you get to the breakout room, and we'll see you back here in 6 minutes.
And I'll be around. I'll be around.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Looks like people are getting...
Back, everybody. They're bouncing back. We're bouncing back.
Yeah.
There they go. It's like all of a sudden it's like 75 people just show up. It's like a yank. And it's just overwhelming, but we're coming back and we're going to dig in. If from that conversation alone, you have specific questions or insights or something that you'd like to put into the chat, please do that. All right. Please do that. That is not, I'd love to make sure that everybody is getting their thoughts out there. We're going to spend the next hour plus in session one, right? So there are going to be three sessions. This is going to be chapters. Everybody's coming back now. This is going to be chapters 1 and 2. Okay. And I will go through those key ideas. And what's funny about this is that you came for hard conversations, and this whole section is basically about clarifying conversations. And you're going to go, well, that's strange. I don't think that that's what I'm here for. Just love me. And I'm going to show you why we need to actually do that. Then in session two, we're going to go into chapters 3 and 4, which speaks to, all right, had my clarifying conversations. Now I need to actually have a hard conversation. I need to plan this. And we're going to go into outcome mapping, which for the folks that were in our session this past summer, sounds similar, but it's going to have a twist on it. And it's diving into being even more allocentric and other focused. So we're going to take a look at why might somebody not be able to do this right now, or is not choosing to do this right now? And how am I seeing it, and how are they seeing it? And some other factors to consider around organizational and political stuff that's going on that might be at play. That's going to be next session. So you got to do that reading. And then we'll go into the scripting, which many of you might have thought to yourself, well, I need to have a hard conversation. Tell me how to say that. That's the last of our stuff, because there's so much thinking that has to go in front of it. And I want to kind of modify our hard conversation with an understanding of David Rock's scarf model. David Rock is a cognitive crush I have. He's a neuropsychologist. And how you add his threat safety stuff into speaking, and how that might kind of make it a more humane, hard conversation. Then in this particular book, I ended up putting in all of that stuff around, well, what if they yell at me? Well, what if they say that da 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 da? You know, and so there is a chapter where I start the conversation out, what if they say this back to you? And then how do you handle it when you might be receiving feedback, or you have to get into this hard conversation, right? So those are our sessions. At any point, you could be in this workshop in a moment of validation. Yeah, do it, got it, have a PhD in it, did my admin credential in it, got it, feeling like pretty basic, fantastic. If you feel validated by this, fantastic. You might also feel, you're right. And that's a good reminder. I don't live that out loud very much. And that's totally fine too. And if you are like, whoa, I was teaching third grade last week and this adult stuff is new, and you're in the middle of new information, great too. There's no wrong place to be. All moments are good. Okay. So just ask questions, stretch yourself. It's all perfect. Okay, wherever you are. And as my friend Laura Lipton would say, be a tenacious advocate for your own learning. Be in it. All right. So this isn't a, like, everybody's in the room, we're doing cohorts, everybody's going to work on stuff, and you're going to actually produce things. That's not this book study. But it doesn't matter. I want you to actually think to yourself, what are my case studies? Like, what am I bringing to this? Because it's not the same thing to talk of bulls as it is to be in the bull ring. I'm not going to bring you scenarios. Okay. There are so many scenarios in your own school, in your own district. So I want you to think, you'll notice the word is very intentional. Okay. Think about a hard conversation that you'd want to use during these three sessions as a case study, so that we can take it and then, like, kind of attach all the learnings to it. Okay. And you might say, I have three. Great. Have three. How do I choose? Right. Choose one and then modify if need be. The questions that I've got are, you know, what are your circumstances surrounding this hard conversation? What bothers you? And maybe you haven't said anything yet. Maybe you want to know why. And those are just some questions to get your head in the game. Okay. I always put those case study questions out. That's the initial piece. All right. That's for you just to always have at the ready, and then you apply. Okay. You might put a case study out, and on page one in the packet, one in the book, I put this here because people brought to my workshops these types of hard conversations. They were about physical abuse, or people doing financial malfeasance, or there were unsafe working conditions or mental health issues that really made things unsafe. Somebody was drinking on the job. Somebody had early onset Alzheimer's. There was some drug abuse. This particular workshop isn't about any of that, because that really needs to be brought to the attention of human resources. It's it's not a humane growth producing conversation about a challenge that somebody has in their practice. We're going to keep them in the job and we're going to move forward. That's important. Those are great hard conversations to have. And this workshop isn't going to be about that. I've had people come, and I just want to put that out there as my kind of my piece. There are so many other hard conversations we can consider. And so pick something that isn't that, right? What I want us to consider are people that can be stretched, people that their practice can get better. They have potential in the moment. They're healthy enough, and we want to stretch them. And I want to make sure before you have a hard conversation with any of those people that you've had clarifying conversations with them. Okay. So this is page 2 in the book, and it's also chapter 2. So I'm kind of mixing and matching. Almost all conflict is the result of violated expectations. Okay. Almost all conflicts result by the question I have for you, to be really honest, is does everybody know what the expectations are? Now, you might say to me, are you kidding? We put them out there. We had a workshop on this, you know, in 2012, right? That I want to know, can you promise me that everybody knows what the expectations are? And have you kind of put it out there in ways that they could take it in? I know that I have a lot of expectations that have been in my mind. Okay. The expectation of we hired this person, they're a professional, they should just know how to do school. And I don't want to be patronizing. I don't want to be too juvenile about this. So I'm not really going to say it aloud. But then you get kind of angry that they're not following. So I want us to think about, are we sure before we have a hard conversation that we've had clarifying conversations? Does everybody know what the teaching expectations are? Everybody know what the standards are? Does everybody know what their job description is? What the legal obligations are? What the clarity of the timeline is? Now, somebody said to me at one point, that's a really good point. In my job description, I have other duties as assigned. I don't even know what my job description is, people will say, especially if they're an instructional coach. I don't know. I don't even know what my job is, right? Clarity is so helpful. People sometimes get nervous about putting it on. And somebody I can't remember this lovely gentleman's name. He was here. He was in the videos that I just saw. He had just seen Brené Brown. And he said, clear is kind. Clear is kind. Okay. So we've got to actually pin it. We've got to decide, are we sure that we have had clarity? The thing that really hit me with this is when I started working with new teachers. And I wrote a book, I wrote this book in 2013, I can't remember, called The Multi-Generational Workplace. And it was about communicating, collaborating, and creating community. Because I was, however old I was then, I'm now 54, new teachers are 22. 22, they're so cute, okay? I know that I had ideas of what a professional was supposed to be. And my district, embarrassingly enough, said to the new teachers, welcome to Palo Alto Unified. Be respectful, courteous, sensitive, and timely, and everything will be fine. And never got clear about it. They didn't know what timely meant. They didn't know what we expected in terms of sensitive. And so I got really clear that we were angry at people that we hadn't been clear with. So we got more explicit. Explicit is not mean, okay? I want us to really consider that. When you're on an airplane, they tell you, you have to sit in your seat, put your seatbelt on, put your tray table up, put your stuff underneath the seat. They're very explicit, they're not mean. They're just reiterating the expectations. And so do we reiterate our expectations? Are you angry at people because they're not responding in a timely way. Well, were you clear about what the email etiquette was? Are you upset that people are not being a professional in meetings? Well, what does that look like? Have you been clear about that? Are you frustrated because people are not, I don't know, finding the right people to talk to about certain things? Dress code. That's always an interesting one. How are you supposed to handle conflict? These were things personally within my district that we hadn't put into any contract, any handbook, anything. And yet people were gossiping and pissy about it. So I'm just putting that out there. That idea of clarity before accountability. Now, one other thing, and then I'm going to put you back into a breakout room. And Justin will do that. This idea about being a professional. There's a lot of hard conversations about the content or the tasks that people have to complete. And there's plenty to have a hard conversation about with that. And there's also this like fuzzy thing about how to be a professional or what we expect of you and your engagement with other people. And I know in the state of California, we have California Standard for the Teaching Profession 6. Okay. I'm guessing in every other district, if you're using Danielson, it's domain 4. Every other state has something about this. I just know that we've got to really bring that to the fore. Okay. That idea that it is something we are paying attention to, that we do value the collaborative professional and the behaviors that go with that. In the book, Keegan and Leahy, two people that I know from Harvard, Bob Keegan and Lisa Lasco Leahy, would talk about bringing that to the fore and articulating it as a language of public agreement. That's what a clarifying kind of expectation is. It's that idea that if we have a language of public agreement, organizational integrity, we really believe in this, we can speak to it, right? So putting stuff out there that might be fuzzy is hugely important. And on page 8 in the book, I also talk to why even thinking about hard conversations around professionalism or clarity around fuzzy things of why it's so essential. Keegan and Leahy talk about having it be, you know, sort of a public agreement. That's wonderful. Why? Shouldn't adults just be adult? Do we have to spell this stuff out? Do we need clarity around any of these fuzzy things? Yes. Tony Breich and Barbara Schneider in the early 2000s at the University of Chicago, where they were at that point, did some research around relational trust and the behaviors that constituted that. And they did it to actually do the research that said, if adults have relational trust, you're more likely, it's a direct connection to student achievement. That if the adults actually behaved well with each other, there's a greater chance that student achievement's going to go up. So all of this professionalism outside the classroom, how we behave with each other, that stuff, how we do this, actually makes a difference. And it needs to be named and clarified and validated as something that is important to consider. Breich and Schneider on pages 11 and 12 in the book speak to 4 pieces of it. I'm not going to go through that because you've got it. But also on page 11 and then on to 12, I spoke about sort of a set of questions that actually bring to the fore what it means to be a professional. And it's exhaustive. It's not an exhaustive list by any means, but it's that idea that we need to emphasize this as valid. as valued, as something that has to be there, all of this professional stuff. So to me, that's also on pages 11 and 12. So when I think of clarifying conversations, we're going to look at this for another section as well, because I want to talk about initiatives not being clear. But I also wanted to think about just being a professional. Is that clear? And are we having hard conversations because we haven't been clear about this? So before we go into, the thing, I want to actually put this out. What are your professionalism standards? And are they clear? And might clarity around these behaviors help with the hard conversations that you're facing? Now, you might be saying, no, I came for something that was way outside of this. And we'll still get to that, I promise. But I have a feeling that clarity before accountability and professionalism would help. So that's why I'm putting it out there. Justin, would you please put us into breakout rooms, mix me up, put me someplace else. And let's see, anybody thinking that clarity before accountability or professionalism expectations need to have, you know, need to be happening. And so we're going to get to know somebody else and talk about it for 6 minutes.
All right. Please. See you in the breakout rooms.
Bye.
Give people about 30 more seconds to come back from their breakout rooms. While we're doing that, if you want to share anything interesting in the chat, anything that came up in your breakout room, I think Jennifer is in a breakout room, so we'll get her back on screen here in just a moment. Talking a little bit in our breakout room about a staff handbook and about what professionalism means, as Jennifer was talking about, and how there's never feels like there's time to update a staff handbook. You know, it's not urgent, but it is important to have those shared expectations. All
hello,
right.
Hello. I'm trying to come back.
There
I
she
need
is.
To, I need to get the screen back again, my friend.
There we go. All right.
Give me the screen back.
Put
all right.
Back up.
I know that in the two rooms that I was in, that idea of, well, you're right, I have to put this in the handbook, or we've never even really articulated certain things. That I feel isn't, and I so get it. And clarity feels sort of just like, oh, I just want people to be an adult. And we have to be able to do this stuff. Right? We have to be able to be clear. It'll help people not have as many hard conversations. Okay. So where, make sure clarity is there before accountability. The other thing about clarity that I want to talk about is it has to do with another book that I wrote called Swimming in the Deep End, which is a fuzzy title, but that's why Solution Tree decided that I needed a very sexy subtitle called Four Foundational Skills for Leading Successful School Initiatives. One of the things that I realized people were having a hard time with, and they were just sort of like treading water and been really hard trying to roll out an initiative, is that people weren't clear as to what anybody was supposed to do. It was just, well, you know, just like Kennedy said, we're going to the moon, we're going to get a rocket there, but no plan, right? And in school districts, I totally agree that we should be doing all of the things that I'm going to put out on the slides. And without a roadmap or a clarity around what the heck any of these things mean, we're not going to get there. So to me, where do you need to be clear before you need to have people be accountable? When I was doing a workshop with a school in Asia, we sat down and said, what are all the things that people are fuzzy about? And this was the first of three slides. Okay. I'm not against any of these programs. I am just, or even of these ideas, right? I just want to know what is a teacher expected to do as a result of making sure that we are going to have student-centered instruction. I'm not against it. I don't know what that means. And so clarity. Same thing as I just mentioned with professionalism. I want to work with professionals and I want to know what do you mean by this? Okay. Daniel writes in the chat, seeing rigor and engagement in particular speak to me, right? And the same thing with me as a new teacher coach. I've been told, help this person up the rigor of his instruction. And then the administrator nodded. And I had to go back and figure out, what are we talking about? It wasn't clear to somebody. It's not wrong. It's just fuzzy. Okay. So I want us to think, oop, and there we go with the last slide. There are so many things that I just want us to recognize that we might be in conversations where people are very frustrated with us because we're holding them accountable, but they were actually never really on 2 feet in the present on the same page with us to start. And that to me, I feel is unfair. So the question I have for you, and I know that we've got maybe about 3 more breakout rooms with this. Where are you on the road to clarity? Think about your hard conversation. Do you promise me that you're like, Jen, I got to do chapters 3 and 4. I'm done. I got clarity. Give me the rest of it. Okay. Tell me how you have articulated this. Whatever you have agreed to. Is it in writing? Did you have meetings about it? Is it in a handbook? Has everybody gotten on board? That includes all of the new teachers for this year. That includes, you know, did we have a change in the team or the department and we need to revisit? Okay. It's the hardest thing. Okay. To consider. So where are you? Are you on a dirt road? Are you on a gravel road? Are you on a cobblestone road? Are you on an interstate highway? Like, we're done. Right. And so as Justin put in the chat, right. So where are you? And Daniel wrote, biggest disagreements I've had with people is things that on paper, we said we agreed to. Okay. So we need to actually go back. My boyfriend wrote a book called The Book of Agreements. It was outside education, but it completely can go in education. Where did we agree to it? And do we need to renegotiate, you know, or have a hard conversation about it? Because this was what we said. And maybe people can't do it or whatever, but we got to go back to it. Right. So we're going to mix it up, Justin. I'm going to give you a second to mix up the groups. Okay. So new people. Okay. We're going to work with new people in this group and then maybe the next 2 quick sessions. Which words or concepts that are used in your school or district need more clarity before accountability? Take a little discussion room time to talk about what's been fuzzy in your hard conversations. And it could be, if you're an instructional coach, my job description in general is fuzzy. You know what I mean? What might be your next steps to add a little clarity? That's what I'm thinking. So I know that we're not talking about hard conversations yet, but I got to make sure that we have had we've had clarifying conversations. And I want to back up the truck and say, please assure me that you've had clarity before accountability, because hard conversations are really challenging for everybody to have. Let's have clarifying conversations if we can do that instead. Okay. So 6 minutes, the key is, okay, what's been fuzzy? Are you fuzzy with your case study? Are you fuzzy in your district about stuff? Maybe that's where stuff needs to be happening, not hard conversations. 6 minutes, new group. Say hello. Go for it.
Right. Welcome back. Just a minute, and we'll get Jen back on here. Welcome, welcome. Hope everyone is enjoying their breakout discussions and getting a chance to think, a chance to listen, a chance to process verbally. And think about these issues of clarity. I loved Jennifer's metaphor of the dirt road, the paved road, the two-lane highway, the interstate highway, sometimes even a dirt road is more than we can ask for. Sometimes we feel like the amount of clarity that's been established is simply a kind of a general direction, go that way, through the trees, you know, just kind of weave around them. That's somewhat what it feels like sometimes to have a new initiative and not the level of clarity that we'd like. Hey, Jennifer.
Hello, I'm having such a lovely time in my breakout rooms. If I come and see you, I'll be delighted. I think that clarity before accountability is huge. So those are the two things in chapters one and two that I just wanted to surface, okay? That I think will feel better. I think we're more humane. I think we're more growth producing if we have set up making sure that we've been as clear as we possibly can, because then we can have an accountability conversation. Now, some things, and I have two other things for you guys before we finish today. One of the things is you might be trying to solve something you can't solve. You're trying to have a hard conversation to solve something and you can't, okay? Because it's a polarity. And that's okay. Lots of polarities in education. So let's consider if the hard conversations that you're having are actually in the midst of a polarity. A polarity goes like the seesaw. I've got the visual there. Polarity management is different than problem solving. Okay. My colleague, Jane Kesey, wrote a book called Unleashing the Positive Power of Differences. And she brought polarity thinking. She's one of the people that has brought polarity thinking into education. And polarity thinking is in the book. It's on pages 2 and 3. And then it's several days of a workshop with Jane on talking about, you know, how to do polarity management. But she helped me see that I've been trying to solve things that are unsolvable. Problems are not ongoing. There's an end point. They're solvable. But many things that I'm seeing and hearing from you guys are really you managing a polarity. Okay. And there, it's not solvable. It's about managing a polarity. So on page 3 in the packet is, I'm sorry, in the book is sort of a set of polarities. Now I want you to think about this. In education, okay, we have some things that are going to stay continuity, and we've got some things that are going to change. Some things are traditional, and some things are going to be changing and they're transformational. There's neither right or wrong that there's like one side of that you always stay on. Like we'll always be in continuity. We'll just do status quo forever. There's times when we're going to have to change. It's not either or, it's both and. Sometimes we're going to focus on autonomy, do it your own way. Absolutely, you get choice, agency, and voice. Sometimes we all have to be in lockstep, collaboration, and alignment. Is one or the other right or wrong? No. But that idea of being mindful, right? That you have a polarity you're trying to manage at all is usually helpful. A long time ago, in the olden days, pre-COVID, there used to be the rollout of the Common Core. Many of your states did that, at least part of it, or all of the Common Core. Maybe you opted out of the Common Core, but there was the Common Core. What is the Common Core? Common. There would be a commonness to it, right? Which means that there would be an alignment, that there would be collaboration, that people would focus on something and everybody would do it. For those places like my school district that had tipped the seesaw on autonomy, moving toward alignment felt like people were stomping them off the seesaw. And what should have been done in terms of managing that conversation is to say, we're managing this, we're moving a little over. This is what now we have to do. Here's the clarity of where we'll change. Here's the clarity of what will stay the same. But instead, many people came in and tried to solve it as a problem instead of managing it as a polarity. And that got them into more trouble. So I want you to think to yourself, one gentleman, I was just in a breakout room, he's focusing now on an increased emphasis on SEL. Fantastic. That is, we're focusing, we're changing the dynamic. We're going to have more of an emphasis on social emotional learning. Does that mean that academics aren't going to be in the classroom? No, they're still there, but we're going to have a little bit more of an emphasis on this, as opposed to everybody has to do SEL. You're going to now be counselors. Forget the fact that you're a teacher, because people will get angry because they're going to get afraid. And that shouldn't be the hard conversation, right? It should be a rebalancing. One of my colleagues did it pretty well. And she said, you have autonomy in all of these ways. And we're going to be remanaging it where you have collaboration and alignment in these ways. So people didn't feel like the rug was ripped under them, up from under them. So I'm just curious, and Kesey has another book on it as well. And she talks about the idea of and, both and. She wants people to see that we're living in polarity management most of the time, not problem solving. Okay. So curious. Okay, curious. And I'm going to make this actually shorter. It's going to be a 4 minute, Justin, not a 6 minute. Are your hard conversations you're having primarily about managing polarities or about solving problems? And it could be both, because you can have problems within managing a polarity. But this idea about polarity management, most people haven't even thought of. And that's why they're tipping people's seesaws instead of saying we're rebalancing. We're just rebalancing. Safety. We're going to absolutely wear masks. There will be no managing the polarity. Boom. Safety versus your freedom. Okay. Now maybe we can move a little bit. But most of the time, we're managing polarities. So question is, what's going on? See how polarities are hitting your conversations. 4 minutes joining into a breakout room. Go for it.
All right. And do you want me to make new breakout rooms or same ones?
Well, same breakout room would be great.
Same breakout rooms. All right. Here we go.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back. Jennifer, let me hand it back to you one more time.
One last thing.
One more time here. Yeah.
One more time. One last time. One last time. Because we're finishing up this idea of, can I articulate, right? Can I articulate my hard conversation? Am I clear about what I'm talking about? Have I been clear with them about what's that to me is really important. Okay. And finally, for today, we've made sure we've had clarifying conversations. We're clearer about that we are managing a polarity and we're having the right conversation about the right thing. We're either rebalancing or whatever. Now, let's say you're like, Jen, done. I'm clear. I can show you every sheet of paper. I can give you the documentation of the agendas of every meeting that I have actually articulated, all of this. I can send you the video, right? Now I have to have a hard conversation with somebody because they're not following through. How do you have the conversation in a cognitive versus affective way? Timothy J. Clark is sort of, Amy Edmondson is also one of these people, the concept of psychological safety. We're not trying to be inhumane in this conversation. We're trying not to have conversations that will promote social friction, okay, where people are being cranky with each other and talking about each other's personalities. We want to talk about the content. So we want it to be intellectual and cognitive. We want to lower the social and we want to up the cognitive. Okay. So we don't want our hard conversation to be affective. We want it to be cognitive. Okay. Bob Garmston, one of my mentors and dear friends, wrote a book called Unlocking Group Potential to Improve Schools. And he does a lot around group stuff. This could be an interpersonal hard conversation, same idea. Okay. But he would say, don't have a hard conversation that is affective. Not saying you shouldn't be passionate, not saying you shouldn't care, That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that you personalize things, that you make it about resentment, that you focus on individuals, you call people, you know, you're toxic, you're a drama queen, you're a mess. I mean, I've had people who are just like, oh my God, you're so awful to work with. You know, it's about the person as opposed to the problem. Okay. Trying not to have a hard conversation about the individual, but about the behavior. It's exactly what we do with students. You know, you're not a bad person, you did a bad thing. We're trying to stay separate from the individual. We're trying to focus our hard conversations around something we've been clear about that's been substantive. It's an issue. It's an initiative. It's a standard. It's the expectation. It's about, we can disagree about the idea. Okay. And that means that we're doing it without saliva. Okay. Now, saliva is when you, yeah, I don't know, you say something to me, you know, Jennifer, you're fat. I don't know, making this up. And I make it, I have saliva. I grimace. My eyes squint. I have saliva. I'm like, ouch, that hurt. Okay. Because it's personal. I call them saliva moments, or if you don't like that, a verbal paper cut. It's probably just one word or two, and you don't want to make a big deal of it, but it really was offensive to you or harmful. And so it's not like they stabbed you in the heart, but they probably said something and it was like a little irritated verbal paper cut. We're trying not to verbally paper cut and or cause a saliva moment. Okay. So that's where I say to people, and when I bring people together, do a check, do a saliva check with somebody. Have that person say to you, this is what I'm thinking of saying. And is the person listening feeling like, ouch, that wasn't the right word. Or, ooh, that, you know, that really scraped me. We're trying to make sure that we're staying as neutral as possible, that we're talking about what's on the table, not about the person. Now, people say to me, well, how do you want me to do that? It's totally about the person. It's their personality. It's their, you know, it's just who they are. I'm not as interested about their personalities as I am about their actions, their impact, or their behaviors. And those things are under that professionalism standard. So there are times when we can have conversations about something that isn't, it's not the person, you know what I mean? You're fat, you're ugly, whatever. We've seen enough of that in the last number of years where people, you know, have kind of been mean in our political situation here in the United States. So we're trying to talk about conflict in a cognitive way. All right. Last up is just this final thing. And let's just make it another 4 minutes, Justin, and then we'll come back. I'll tell them about the next thing and we'll keep going instead of six. When you look at your case study, do you see yourself capable of going cognitive? Do you have the language? Do you have the clarity? And are you feeling like you can step away from going too emotional and personal about it? Okay. So cognitive, affective, what are your thoughts with that? Okay. I know. And Daniel is really fabulously in the, he's engaged. He's in the chat saying, it's really interesting. He used the term blunt and somebody got really upset with that. So that was a perception that he had, that this person was blunt. You're perceiving something that it came across that way, right? That I don't think you can be upset, that person can't be upset about, because the impact, there's a difference. His intent or her intent might not have been to be blunt. I'm not talking about intention. I'm talking about impact. Okay. So 4 minutes, cognitive, affective. What are you thinking about that with your case study? Justin, go for it.
All right. Here we go.
I feel connected. I feel good. These were chapter 1 and 2, clarity, making sure you're not talking about a polarity when it's, when, you know, making sure it's, you're talking about a polarity instead of a problem, and you're not verbally paper cutting people. Okay. Or saliva-ing them. I would love, as we finish up, if you put a key takeaway in the chat, that would make me happy. And it's not about making me happy, but feedback for Justin and I would be what in the last 90 minutes has your attention now. Next week, we're going to go into chapters 3 and 4. And that means that we're moving past clarity. We're going to trust that clarity has been there. And now we got to actually step up and have the conversation. How do we plan for that? So when we do it in an outcome map. Okay. And this is a specific way. And I want to emphasize in this particular thing, being allocentric or other focused. We're going to be more other focused. How, where is this other person coming from, et cetera. And then some other factors around the organizations and being aware of organizational stuff as well. So that is literally it for today. If you have any questions that I did not respond to, I'm going to look at the chat. For sure. Contact me. I'm on Twitter. That's my website. That's my email. Let me know. And Justin, as we finish up, what are you thinking? Because we're a minute behind. I'm so sorry.
This is fantastic and very excited to see all of people's takeaways. We'll go through those. We will post the recording. We will cut out any breakout room discussions. So if I showed up in your breakout room, we'll cut that out of the recording. And yeah, keep those questions coming, and very much look forward to next time. So Jennifer, this is just incredible stuff, and thank you. So same time, same place next week. We'll send out reminders. Do join the discussion forum. You've had several emails about that now, and I'm going to put the link in the chat real quick if you want to go ahead and do that. It is vital that you get that link.
Everybody's.
And that should allow you to access the recording. So there's not much there yet, but as soon as we get this uploaded, you'll see the recording there, and you'll also find the schedule and Zoom links and so on. So that's also a place where you can ask questions. Try to keep an eye on that. And I know we are out of time, so we'll stop there. Jennifer, thank you again, and thank you everyone for being here.
Perfect. And thank you, Georgina. We're going to talk about that next time. She's asking about cultural norms. Perfect. All right. More soon. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.